It's been an astonishing 5 days. I tell you, there were times when some of us felt we wouldn't make it through alive, actually. Such was this little bubble that we were living in. Basically, on Saturday, when the uprising in Tripoli began, then we started to feel far more isolated in the city because we weren't sure how the battles were going to go, and we were in a government-controlled hotel. On Sunday through the day, government minders and their families and other officials from state TV and the like started to leave. On Sunday evening, the government information minister gave his last press conference, and then before we knew it, he and his staff had filtered away. And then all we had left were 30 or so government officials, who most of whom we knew and had seen before, who had weapons. But then on Monday morning when we woke up, they had gone and had been replaced by a band of young men, not wearing military uniform, but with guns and green Gaddafi bandanas around their heads. And that's when we started to wonder and get very worried about what the future held for us. We felt that there would be a battle for Tripoli and that it would slowly move towards our hotel, possibly. And, you know, it wouldn't have made a bad sight if the Gaddafi army had wanted to make a last stand to take over the hotel and possibly use us as human shields. So it's been a terribly nerve-wracking 5 days, and I can tell you we're all delighted to be out.
So how exactly did you manage to leave the building then?
It was a very long process of complex negotiation. There were those of us who thought that perhaps we should make a run for it. I mean, I'll just paint this picture, this astonishing moment today when we are still in a hotel, 200-meter-square compound that we haven't been able to leave, that's come under fire on occasions. We've heard loud explosions. We've heard the Battle of Tripoli going on around us. We've had power cuts. Food is there, but it's starting to go off. We're wondering about how long the water will last and everything. And we've been in this microcosm, this tiny little bubble of Gaddafi control, Gaddafi loyalists controlling our lives. Today, all of a sudden, through the door walks a New York Times journalist and his team, not wearing flak jackets. And we're all holed up inside the hotel in flak jackets and helmets, fearing that the battle might come to the hotel. And they said, "What are you doing? Why are you sitting in here? Why don't you just walk out the front door? The whole of Tripoli is free. You can walk around it." We couldn't leave because the two guards that were left with us by the beginning of today, they said they were protecting us. And remarkably, they believed that Colonel Gaddafi's soldiers could still win the fight for Tripoli, even this morning, even on Wednesday morning, they believed that. And it took a lot of negotiation, A, to persuade them that that wasn't the case. In the end, one of the journalists managed to disarm one of the guys. And the moment he was disarmed, this Gaddafi loyalist, who had actually been a very nice, accommodating man towards us and had never threatened us personally, he sat down and he wept and he cried and he said, "Now the rebels will kill me." And I think that's the other side of this conflict, that all of a sudden I've come out into a new Tripoli, a different Tripoli. It clearly shows the scars of fighting, but it's a city in which the Gaddafi opponents last week or so would only whisper their opposition to Colonel Gaddafi to me. Now they're out on the streets being vocal about it, and the people who are now hiding are the Gaddafi supporters.